Good morning. Thank you for being with us on Coffee at KYUK. I'm your host, Greg Kemp. Cases of COVID-19 in the YK Delta are surging. The region now has one of the highest infection rates in the country. On Tuesday, I had a conversation with Yukon Kuskokwim Health Corporation CEO and President Dan Winkleman, Chief of Staff Dr. Ellen Hodges, and Vice President of Hospital Operations Jim Sweeney. We're sharing the recording of that conversation today. Here's Dan Winkleman about what actions YKHC took at the beginning of this week to turn the pandemic around.
Monday morning, I called my management team together. We reviewed the latest contact tracing and what the current rates of positivity and transmission were per 100,000 here for the YK Delta. After that, and seeing those alarming numbers, we met with school district leadership across the YK Delta and recommended that all schools in the YK Delta go to remote learning. After that, we got on the phone and notified 14 tribes and cities across the YK Delta that they should go on lockdown for the next 2 weeks at a minimum. And this is in addition to the five villages that are already on lockdown here in the YK Delta, for a total of 19 villages here in the YK Delta on a minimum of a two-week lockdown. And most villages had the resources in place to initiate the lockdown.
So the idea is, if we engage in this behavior with a very strict shelter-in-place or hunker-down or lockdown order, that we can interrupt the transmission of this highly contagious virus in our region before it gets out of hand like it already has in several of our villages.
Almost like a last resort in terms of how severe the pandemic has become in our region.
Absolutely. So we would strongly recommend that in-person dining be eliminated within the city of Bethel, recommending takeout or delivery only. We would strongly urge our villages to continue their current protective measures, like wearing masks, making hand sanitizer available, et cetera. We would prohibit gatherings of any size when we're aware that this is not enforceable. And I think that that's important to understand, that we do recognize that this is a difficult to enforce, but we strongly believe that this public health measure really should be also announced at kind of a citywide level to keep people from having these informal and formal gatherings where we have noticed there to be widespread transmission of COVID.
Anchorage Daily News reported on Monday that the federal government is sending 220,000 rapid response COVID-19 tests to Alaska. Is YKHC receiving any of those tests?
Yeah, Jim, can you go into that?
We're receiving roughly 4,000 cards from the government to use locally here on a limited basis until we establish how well they work and what the best way to use them is. But we should have 4,000 of them in shortly.
And last week, Dan, YKHC announced it had a shortage of personal protective equipment, or PPE. And on October 23rd, you announced, after a meeting with the state and talking with Indian Health Services, YKHC would be receiving additional PPE. Could you talk about what specifically is being sent? And
hundreds of cases of gloves were being shipped to us. In addition to that, there's additional testing supplies. They said that they would also be sending us additional Abbott ID analyzers and testing kits. And then around that same time, I was also able to speak with the Alaska Area Director of the Indian Health Service, Angel Dodemain, who said that we're going to be receiving more PPE in all different types from the national stockpile, and they're being shipped directly to YKHC. And so we're going through with the types of those right now. From my understanding, after speaking with the state and the Indian Health Service, we won't be at a critical level with any of our PPE needs after those two shipments arrive, and then we'll have to go from there. We also worked on a better process for how we do our ordering. So in the future, it looks like they'll be able to keep up with what our requests are.
In other good news, New Napichuk was a community that had community spread, and it was able to move past that status without everyone in the whole village getting COVID. Do you view that as a success story? And if so, what do you think enabled that community to move past community spread?
We worked right away with their leadership. They implemented strong public health strategies the community itself took the lockdown seriously. If other communities are able to do that, there is no reason why that they couldn't replicate the same success. Now, does that mean that Ninhapachuk or any other village may not also have community spread occur a second or third time? We could see a cycle of this happening with villages just due to people's traveling and just because of how widespread the disease is. But every village should look to them as a model and see that, yes, a lockdown can work. It can work if the community and the leadership there work together with YKHC to implement strong public health strategies. And we keep people from visiting one another, make sure everyone's washing their hands, everyone's masked up when they're with others in public, and we're able to do that as a community for the minimum of 2 weeks.
This is Dr. Hodges. Another thing that we have noticed is that people feel safe because there hasn't been a documented case in their village, and they have developed habits that don't prevent transmission. And so we would just strongly encourage everyone to practice the health and safety risk mitigation that we know works, keeping your social circle small and keeping masks up. The virus can circulate undetected in people who have very minimal symptoms or no symptoms at all. And so it's very important that we prevent that from happening, and so that the next time we detect the virus in the village, it's because it's very widespread. And we are seeing an increase in some of these villages of people with COVID-like illnesses. And so we just want to strongly urge everyone adhere to the public health measures that we know work.
Let me add to that. This is Dan. You know, every week we meet with our tribes. Just about every week, although it's not happening as much now because the message is getting out, but I do get questions from tribal leaders and community members. Well, can we have a list of everyone who's positive with COVID? And I know what their rationale is, that, oh, okay, we'll make sure those people are staying in quarantine and we can stay away from them and kind of watch them. You know, we're past the stage of that for a couple of reasons. The first thing is, you know, legally we can't do that because there's privacy laws. The second and more important reason why we can't do that and why that wouldn't work anyways is because COVID is so widespread now within the entire YK Delta that you have to assume that when you meet with others outside of your household, you have to assume that they possibly have COVID. And I know that is so hard for community members to understand, but that's where we are now. People that in villages right now that we spoke with yesterday, their leadership, I was so happy to hear from them. They're saying that for the first time, they've noticed people are staying in their houses and not visiting others. For the first time, I had another village. Their city government told me that everyone was wearing masks when they're in the store. They hadn't seen that before. You know, for the first time, one of those villages had their school go into lockdown, and they put the notice out yesterday afternoon on the VHF radio, and that got everyone's attention. And so I'm really confident our villages will do well with the lockdown in 2 or 3 weeks, so long as they all act as a community and work together to stop visiting, stop gathering with one another, you know, stay tight to your household, make sure you're masked up. And so long as they follow those precautions, I'm very optimistic and confident that we'll have good results with most of those villages. In villages where I'm concerned about are the larger villages. When you're in a village of a couple hundred people, you can come up with those public health strategies and everyone will generally follow them. It's really the larger communities where we still have young people walking around and mingling with others. I'm concerned about them.
I'm wondering how YKHC is in terms of skilled nursing capacity, doctor capacity, hospital bed capacity, morgue capacity. Could you talk about those issues and if that's a concern?
I'll speak to you and then Jim and Alan can jump in, but I'm always concerned about staffing. Although we did have our furlough this summer, we did focus that on non-clinical positions, knowing that we were going to get into a surge this fall. So we safeguarded those clinical positions. And then about a month or two ago, we started hiring for additional clinical personnel as well as non-clinical personnel. And we're using our COVID funds for some of those things that we're eligible for. So we're trying to increase and have increased our testing capacity and capabilities. And that goes from frontline workers to in people registering and doing intake of people, you know, in line for tests. It also was used, to strengthen our own internal lab that we have here and put on essentially a 24/7 work process in our lab. So we've maxed out our lab capability. And let me speak about testing a little bit more, because I know people are frustrated on the time to get the results. You know, 5 to 8 days is how long it's taking right now. We have essentially maxed out every strategy that we could regarding testing. We increased our personnel in our lab and maxed out our own internal lab. We also are using the state of Alaska's lab to the fullest and greatest extent that we can. We're also using the Alaska Native Medical Center's lab in Anchorage. And then we use private labs. And we're continually trying to test to see if we can get faster with our private labs and get those results back faster, just to try to decrease that time. Because, and then after we received our COVID funds, we purchased another lab analyzer, a Cepheid machine that can process 1,000 samples in a 24-hour period. Unfortunately, because of the backlog and what's happening around with national supply chains globally and nationally, that machine will not be delivered here until February. Then it's going to take us about a month to get it up and running and to get the certifications for the machine. But that will take care of our current volume. And we're really looking forward to that, so long as we can get the testing media for that. And that's been another issue because of global and national shortages. But we're hoping that testing will improve at that time. Until then, as more disease burden happens here in the Waikei Delta and around the state, it is likely that there may be longer delays in testing, unfortunately. That's something that's out of our control. As you know, there's no national strategy to improve testing, and there hasn't been since the pandemic arrived here in the U.S.
And if Vice President Sweeney or Dr. Hodges wants to weigh in on capacity, are we prepared to ask the state for additional help if we do have a shortage of skilled nurses or doctors or other capacity issues?
We do have a well-developed surge capacity plan to take care of patients in the event we overwhelm the healthcare system in the state. But I would really like not to get there. And I think it's important for everyone to understand that this is something that every single person in the Waikei Delta has to participate in. There's not any one thing that YK can do or KYUK can do or any one entity can do. This is going to require all of us to do the really hard thing, and that is to hunker down, to wear a mask, and to wash our hands. These are the things that we have to do, or we are going to overwhelm our healthcare system. And that's a certainty. It's happened in other places, and there's no reason to think that we would be special in any way compared to other places. We can't act the way we did before the pandemic started. We just cannot. We do not have the resources to do that.
Hi, this is Jim. I'd like to echo something on that, too. That we don't have to get overwhelmed. If we do the things that Ellen's talking about, if we follow the rules and we keep masks, we don't go out and visit people, we don't have to get overwhelmed. This is not something that is going to happen inevitably. We have the power to stop it if we choose to do that. So we really need to work on changing our behavior and living by those rules.
Dr. Hodges, is there any explanation for why so many Waikei Delta communities have a COVID-19 case in their village right now? Is it because there's travel between villages? Is it because there's community spread in Bethel? Or is it a different explanation?
I think this is just the pandemic getting out of control, as it has all over the United States. And I think in the past, our geographic isolation sort of protected us from that. Surges, say, in New York City. But now that it's more widespread all over the nation, I think we're just seeing the effects of that.
Yeah, Greg, and one last thing is, on October 1, we went ahead and asked villages for their consent so we could notify their community members, when they had a positive COVID case. That's really, really important that every village get back to us and do that. We haven't received consents from all villages, so it's also important for people in the region to know that although many villages have consented to that, for whatever reason, tribal leadership and city leadership have not. And so it's really important that they speak with their leadership and say, hey, you know, this is important. If COVID's here in my community, I want to know about it. Please sign that consent form and get it back to YKHC. If we have villages that have community spread, it's really important that tribal members let their leadership know, if we have community spread, I want to know about it. And certainly villages around that village, they would also want to know about it too. So it's a public health threat that we're dealing with. And these are basic public health measures that we've asked everyone to take. And part of that is acknowledging that we have a problem here. Part of dealing with that is letting people know. When there's a positive case, we want the community to know so they can not just take precautions, but also be vigilant about it at all times and knowing that not every village has consented to that for whatever reason.
Well, thank you so much, all of you, for spending the time answering these questions and talking about the COVID-19 status in our region.
Thanks for listening to Coffee at KYUK. You've been listening to YKHC's top administrators and doctors talk about what the YK Delta needs to do to change the course of the pandemic in our region. This conversation was pre-recorded on Tuesday. I'm your host, Greg Kim.